What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Browns here, but we got to celebrate a series win. It's been so long since the Guardians have got one of these. Guardians picking up the walk-off winner. Kyle Manzardo driving in the game-winning run in the bottom of the 10th inning. And how did we get there? Well, we went to the bottom of the 9th with a 3-2 lead. Nolan Jones went deep. I'm going to tell you, Nolan Jones had a home run for the first time since, I believe, the Reagan administration here in Cleveland, and the Guardians got the series win. We're at the point where it doesn't move the needle yet. Thank God they just won the damn series.
It was good, and now because they played in such a quick amount of time, they got two wins in a row. Let's start to stack some W's. Manzardo, third walk-off hit of the season.
What, really?
Yeah.
I don't know why that sounds like a lot.
Because it is a lot. It is a lot. Most people don't have three in a season. And I mean, it's kind of impressive, the fact that he's been able to deliver that. Now, again, these get inflated now that we have what's called Calvin Ball in the 10th inning. But yeah, three in a season is awesome.
What I like about that is the first two swings by Kyle Manzardo.
Didn't look good.
I mean, I would say, okay, the first one was like, well, okay, it's the first pitch. It's a nice throw. It's a nice guess by Griffin Jacks.
He missed the second pitch by 4 feet.
The second, it was the same pitch.
And he missed it by four feet.
I was getting ready to just curse Kyle Manzardo. And again, I'm
what
the man.
What a Rays pitcher that was. What an idiot. He threw him a fastball right down the plate.
It's Griffin Jacks, yeah.
What an idiot.
He forgot he wasn't in Minnesota anymore.
That's just so dumb.
And he's like, well.
An 0-2 count. That's what you went with?
This is just what the Twins do, Twins relievers do with the Cleveland Guardians. So he just forgot he was in Tampa now. He's got like a 5 ERA since going to Tampa as well. You hate to see it. No, this is just where we are back. We're resetting the typewriter with the Guardians of like, just when I don't care how it happens. And how it happens, by the way, today and yesterday matter on some level, because you got a good, not great appearance from Ciccone.
Yeah.
Your bullpen gave you, four shutout innings, and you got just enough hitting.
Well, even Ciccone, though, he settled down. I think he retired the last 11 batters before then being pulled. Like, he settled down, he got into a nice groove, and then they were able to just kind of claw their way back into it. Like, if you look at the win probability chart on this game, I mean, it's in the 8th inning, Tampa Bay is in the 90th percentile in order to close that game out.
This is the game, by the way. I was just looking over the box score. This is because I was reminded about Will Wilson, who had a 3-hit game today. This is the game.
Your guy, Will Wilson. Your cousin, Will Wilson.
I would say my potentially illegitimate son, Will Wilson.
Mm.
Only if he hits 3 games, though, so I can get some of that MLB cash. Now, this is the game, though, that we're going to be looking at in a week and being like, why is Will Wilson still here? Why is Nolan Jones here? Well, brought to you courtesy of this win. When those guys are getting playing
enough.
Time.
This is enough to keep them going?
Yes, it is. It is that idea of, I mean, I think the Guardians with a lot of young hitters or even Nolan Jones and Will Wilson are like, we just got to get a taste. And once you get a taste with the Guardians, because the rest of the offense is just so mid or worse than mid, you get a little taste and it really just subsides you for so much longer than if you were in like a legitimate MLB offense.
Both players having the rare higher on base percentage than slugging percentage, which is just a really hard feat to pull off.
And you know what I like most about this win today?
What's that?
No Hosey in the lineup. So no Hosey in the lineup. Rocchio's your two hitter, which let's not even get started on his ninth inning, his bottom of the 10th inning approach and the lack of a, oh my gosh, what was it? Not a bunt. The fact they didn't move anybody over. That's what I'm trying to say. But good job out of Manzo. Good job. Yeah.
It's fun. I like that they won two games in a row. I think your first statement is the right statement, though. Like, it doesn't move the needle necessarily, but it's better than them just crashing out and then us just watching them limp to the end.
Yeah, but I think like this goes to... This just gives me just that little taste of hope. And now you've got the Mariners next. The Josh Naylor homecoming, of course, is no one's going to be calling it. Nah, seriously, he played here. We love him. Sort of. We liked him, you know, when he hit home runs and when he wasn't swinging out of his shoes. But
when he was 30 pounds lighter.
So I actually think that's where we are today. Like, okay, when's the buyback? When are you all of a sudden going to believe that the Guardians? Because there's time, and you're four games back in the wild card. When's the buyback?
I mean, this is what happens with this team. Again, they can go on these stretches. We watched them lose 10 in a row, and now we watch them lose 9 out of their 10, but then we watch them bounce back every single time. This team, it's incredible how this works. I can't remember a team that has rode the highs and the lows as often as this Guardians baseball team has.
I'm going to decipher what you said. Two more series wins. Get two more series wins, maybe a sweep.
I'm not. There's not like you wanted an honest answer from me. I'll watch these games because I watch every game. You watch every game. That's part of the job. We'll talk about them. But hey, well, at any point, I find myself saying, I think they're going to sneak into the postseason.
What if they get to a wild card spot?
No, I don't think they're going to. Like, I would be shocked if you're able to move me to a spot where I say, yes, the wild card is not only in play, it's something that I'm banking on them achieving.
All right. 2 weeks from now,
yeah,
they're the last wild card spot, and the Yankees are a half game off.
Again, it takes a lot of work to get there. If they end up getting there, it just takes too much work to get there. I don't think they're a very good team.
But will you believe in it if they actually get into a wild card spot?
You know how baseball works. If you get into the playoffs, anything can happen.
Well, no. I'm not talking about the end game. I'm talking about in the next 10 games, if they find themselves within earshot of a wild card spot or in a wild card spot.
So if they go like 8-2 over the next 10, yeah, is what you're saying?
And they have, with 20 games to go, they're right there.
What are you trying to get out of me is what I'm trying to figure out.
I think the point of like, when do you get back into them? Because I do think like if they're in a wild card spot at any point in the next 15 games,
It's going to be incredibly hard to get them in that wild card spot.
No, totally fair. And I think that should be the approach because that's how we should all think. But I think what happens if we have the opposite where now it's a 10-game winning streak?
You are here Monday through Friday regardless. What do you mean? We'll talk about it. We'll have fun with it.
No. I just think it's interesting that like... Because I
watch every one of these games regardless if they're good or bad anyway.
No, I don't think it's about watching. I think it's about the plausible idea of... I think there are some people, because of what you said, which is the up and down nature of the season and the team.
Yes, it's got an extreme high and low consistently.
Even if you
team.
Get to a wild card spot within the next 12 games, because there's 20 games after, there's going to be the Randy Quaid of, they're not going to keep this.
Well, I mean, what you would think would happen, but their highs, though, when they rode that high, the most recent stretch where they really were playing their best baseball, that was a month-long stretch, Nick. Like, that wasn't just a two-week flash in the pan. That was a month-long where they were they had the best record in the American League in that stretch. They were a top-five offense in that stretch while also being a top-10 starting pitching staff in that stretch. That was a whole 30-day sample size of baseball. So they can do it for an extended period. That's why I've told you the entire time, if they punch their ticket in, that's a dangerous roster just from that standpoint, that they all can get to a spot that is elevated. It's just we've seen them when they're at their lowest, and when they're at their lowest, it's a lot of It's a lot of Will Wilson and Nolan Jones not doing what they did today.
So it felt like a cross-examination, not what I was trying to do.
I didn't know what you were trying to get me to say.
What I'm interested in is because I'm like, I'll believe that they're going to be a wild card team when it's the end of the season in their wild card spot. I know myself, and I know my fanboy tendencies with the Guardians to a point that I'm going to ride the roller coaster emotionally. And today, I'm slightly more happy than I was yesterday in a series sweep of the Mariners, and I might be saying we're going to win the damn World Series. Whereas I think you're more
bipolar.
I don't. Yes. I'm not trusting this. I'll trust it at the end of the season.
I'm right now the gif of that Popeyes worker on the bench sitting outside the restaurant with like just your head down and just on a 12-hour shift. That's me right now. The Guardians have exhausted me at many points of this season.
I think you've got a really good point about the source of the Guardians' problems this year that I want to get to real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through the idea of overachieving Guardians players
this
year.
Well, just trying to figure out, ultimately, I'm trying to find out the answers to why this season went the way that it did, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out why exactly are they're in the spot that they're in, and every time it seems like they've made a stride forward, they take like three steps backwards. And ultimately, if you look at this roster and you go up and down, I'm trying to figure out in any given season when you have everything go right, what happened last year, for instance. You had a lot of players that were overachieving in many ways. You had a lot of players that were not only just living up to their potential, they were surpassing that. The bullpen, I can name like six guys from last year mm-hmm. that were playing outside of what the expectations going into the season were. And so if I were to ask you right now how many Guardians players have overachieved this year, I think you get two players.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can make an argument for J-Ram, which is insane because J-Ram's expectations are always through the roof, but he's been that good. I think you can make an argument for Manzardo. Manzardo has overachieved relative to the expectations that I think the majority of people across baseball had for him this year. He's been incredible. He's been a godsend of sorts, okay? And then I kind of run out of players. Can you make an argument for Gavin Williams? There's so much potential there. There's so much talent there. I think he's done good enough that maybe you can put him in the met expectations category. Maybe there's a guy in the bullpen or something we're missing in this conversation. But ultimately, it feels like to me there's two, maybe three players that fall in that bucket. Even Stephen Kwan is not having, by all Stephen Kwan metrics, a particularly good year.
All right. So they're uninspiring, though, which I think is the problem. Logan Allen. It's been better than I expected this season.
Yeah? Okay.
Granted, his last start was, awful. But, yeah, I think Logan Allen.
Slade Ciccone did over.
Absolutely Slade Ciccone.
I think Ortiz before the gambling thing would have been in this bucket.
I definitely agreed. I'm going to give you one that I think is going to be a little bit hotly debated potentially, Gabe Arias. Gabe Arias has been your best middle infielder. I think there were people ready to DFA him before the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten a little bit of pop, not a lot of pop, but a little bit of pop. Well, I think he's doesn't have a 700 OPS, but he is knocking on the door of that. And I think he's been a pop. I don't even want to say
like
pleasant
a
surprise.
630 OPS.
Okay, so knocking on the door.
He's knocking. I don't know he's anyone's answering it.
He's definitely knocking on some door.
No one's letting him in the
but
door.
But I think Gabe Arias. Yeah.
I mean,
I said it was uninspiring.
Yeah, you were right about that.
Did he overachieve?
.222 batting average, .279 on base percentage, .362 slugging percentage.
Give me the ribbies.
Yeah.
Give me the doubles.
I mean, it's just, I'm sorry. It's just not. Well, you know what? But I think in any given season, I think you need a lot of people to overachieve or to at least hit an expectation that you didn't see coming. And I think the Guardians' problem this year is that even in discussing this in a 26-man roster, we're coming up with just a handful of guys at best.
I mean, 9 homers, 45 ribbies, 20 doubles. You left out the 20 doubles.
Yeah, yeah.
216-474-0092. How many Guardians players have overachieved this season? A good series win. Got to start stacking them. Actually, no, you got to start sweeping, and you got to get right back into this thing because you're still a moonshot away from being where you need to be. And Danny Cannell's going to join us. He says 8-9 wins for the Cleveland Browns. We'll get into Ohio State, Texas as well in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan. He's got a very rosy prediction for the Browns to talk about the take on Ohio State, Texas. We head out to the Fan Hotline.
And we'll talk to Danny Cannell. Danny coming on courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff, win totals, conference, Heisman, and college football week 1 lines.
Danny, welcome to the show.
How we doing, fellas? I like that get crappy with Zappy. It's kind of like suck for luck, you know, some of those tank for Tua. Like, we've seen some mantras before across NFL franchises. I kind of like that, get crappy with Zappy. That's a good one. I like that.
I feel like if we do one for Shador, I'm going to get fired. So I think it's got to be get crappy for Zappy.
Yes, or I like that. I think that could be a good one.
Before we get to college football, I know you had a very rosy opinion of the Browns hitting the over this year. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You said 8 to 9 wins. Am I correct in that?
Correct, which I don't think is that crazy. So I was actually given a stat. I'm curious if you guys have heard this. I mean, you probably have because you guys are way more dialed in to the Browns than I am. Are you aware of Joe Flacco's stats over his last 17 starts?
I have seen that.
He's over like 4,000 yards. He's got 30 touchdowns. Like, if you put them together and compared him last year, he would have been top five in every passing category, except he also would have been number one in interceptions because he did have a lot of interceptions over the course of those games. I still think he's got some game left in him. I think he fits really well with Stefanski, what he wants to do. And I still think they could be competitive. And I, like, at the age of 40, like, I think 40 is the new 30 in the NFL because it's a game that's not the way it used to be where you just got lit up and it was such a physical game. I think that's why it's becoming way more commonplace for teams to give quarterbacks in their late 30s and early 40s opportunity because they're so protected and there is a massive advantage to having the brain capacity and the knowledge of knowing everything you're going to see, being so familiar with a system, knowing where to get with the football, that you really, that's the luxury of being around the league for 15 or 20 years. You know everything that's coming at you. You know how to predict and kind of anticipate what looks you're getting, what checks to get into. I think that's something that's completely undervalued with Joe Flacco. Not to mention, I still think he can sling it a little bit.
So the bet here is just on and Joe Flacco alone, essentially.
Yes, I do. I think Joe Flacco, I am not a Shador Sanders hater, but I do think, like, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I have been exhausted by the amount of conversation and airspace that has been wasted on national shows. I get it if you're talking about him locally, but when was the last time you heard a fifth-round pick who is battling for the third or fourth spot consuming national shows on whether he's getting the roster and is there a conspiracy theory with the play calling and when is he getting playing time? It's been so absurdly over the top. It's just almost hard to bear. So maybe I find myself rooting for Joe Flacco, but I just think like Shador, and I would say Dillon Gabriel to this extent too. I did value Shador. I thought he was a better NFL prospect, but like long-term, I think if they had half the career that Flacco had, they would be doing jumping jacks. Like, I think that would be an amazing success for them. I think they're more kind of backup quarterbacks for the majority of their career that could play a really long time. Like, that's why I think they could be.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Spot starters. I don't know if I see either one, either Dylan Gaver or Shador, being a guy that you're going to break the bank and spend that $250, $300 million for as your franchise quarterback for the next decade.
Danny, I do want to get to a fair amount of college football here, but we had this conversation at the beginning of the show because I think the Browns have told us they want ball control. They want a heavy emphasis on run. After last year, they want to try and minimize the turnovers to a excessive level, and I think that's interesting because so much of what you mentioned with Joe is there is the no risky, no bisky. There is the he might throw you 40 touchdowns, but he might throw you 20 interceptions. Do you let Joe Flacco cook this year, or do you try and, I don't want to say risk neutering him in the name of turning down those turnovers?
Well, see, that's where I think you trust Flacco, and that's something that young quarterbacks always have a very tough time learning, and it's sort of a skill of the risk-reward aspect of when to take those shots versus when to pull it down. I mean, Brett Favre never really learned it. He was kind of always that gunslinger. You kind of took the good with the bad. That is not what you're looking for from Joe Flacco, but I do feel like in some of those games that he put up some of those numbers over the last 17 starts that he's had, he was put in adverse situations where you're kind of putting him out there to chuck it around. You're kind of playing from behind. So it makes it a little bit more understandable. I would expect him to clean up a lot of those interceptions as long as the Browns are competitive in the games. And I do think with the run game they bring and a defense which is pretty salty, I do think they can be in a lot of one-possession games, and that's where the advantage of experienced quarterback comes into play.
Danny, over to college football. There's a lot of new in the Ohio State-Texas game. Ohio State's got 8 new starters. Texas has basically a whole brand new offensive line, just one returning starter there. And obviously 2 new quarterbacks. We've seen a little bit of Arch Manning. We've seen very, very little of Julian Sain. What's your early read when it seems like it's almost impossible to gauge how good these teams are going to be?
It's so tough. I mean, I was doing a breakdown of the game yesterday and was looking position by position, like who do you give the edge to? And, it was like I gave the edge at quarterback to Arch Manning because at least, like you said, we've seen him a little bit more. I gave the edge at wide receiver to Ohio State because they've got Jeremiah Smith. But it was really tight because Texas has some pretty good young wide receivers too. Running backs, I gave a slight edge to Texas because they have a guy coming back in Trey Wisner and a guy back from injury in C.J. Baxter. But, offensive line, it was almost a toss-up. Defense, really close. They both have a lot of question marks. Did give the edge to Texas there. But, overall, when you tallied them all up, it was still, split right down the middle. So it is a really hard game to handicap, as well as it is hard to handicap most of the teams that are in the top 10, top 15, because a lot of teams have question marks. That's why I think this season is set up to be maybe one of the more entertaining seasons that we've seen in my 15 years covering college football because it's so wide open. I do think, for me, I trust Ohio State more because they're playing at home. Even with a new quarterback, being able to communicate at the line of scrimmage is such an advantage. Like being able to have a third down where you, if you have to check the protection, your offensive line can hear you no problem whatsoever. With some new members in offensive line in Texas, that will not be the case for Arch Manning. When he's trying to operate, it's going to be much tougher to communicate. For his tackles, it's going to be very hard for them who are, they're breaking in some new tackles as well. It's going to be very hard for them to have clean, you know, get offs because they're going to be struggling to hear Arch Manning. They'll probably go silent counts. Then they have to watch the edge rushers for Ohio State try to go off reaction. Those things make it really, really challenging. So I think this game is really evenly matched, but the point spread shows you why. I mean, you get 3 points for home field and they give Ohio State 2.5. So even the odds makers are thinking it's exactly down the middle.
Danny Cannell on the fan hotline here with us, getting you ready for Ohio State, Texas. I thought it was interesting it's taken this long to get here, but it does seem like this week we've started to hear pushback on the Arch Manning hype based off what people saw last year in limited play or based off just the idea of the changes there in Texas. Do you still believe that the Arch Manning hype is substantiated even though we haven't seen, I think it's over 100 career passing attempts from him?
I think it's so over the top. It's impossible. Like, I feel bad for Arch Manning because he really hasn't asked for any of it. And I do have to give him a ton of credit because I think he's handled it really, really well. Like, he's said and done all the right things, and yet media just gravitates to him. I cannot remember. Like, Tebow had some hysteria, but that was really after they won the championship and he won the Heisman. Then it sort of blew up. Same thing with Johnny Manziel, who had hysteria around him, but that was sort of after he broke out. Nobody even knew who Johnny Manziel was when he took over the starting role for A&M. I kind of have to go outside the sport of football and look at a guy like LeBron James, who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high schooler, to remember anybody with this sport of sort of expectations heaped upon him. And I think it's impossible for him to meet those expectations. And I, for one, am one that thinks Texas, it could be more of a roller coaster ride for them. I think he's going to have first-year starter struggles just like everybody else does. I know he's played some, and he's been at Texas for 30 months, so he feels pretty comfortable in that system, but he really doesn't have that extensive experience. And even when he did, they did give him an opportunity versus Georgia last year at home, and in that game, he looked pretty overwhelmed, just like Quinn Ewers did. You know, he didn't look like a superstar in that game. I think if the sky is the limit for what he could be, but I think it's going to be much more of a roller coaster ride for Texas, which is why I actually have them at 9-3 and missing the playoffs. Their schedule is a little bit tougher this year. I think last year, as much as people just were willing to discard Quinn Ewers, he stepped up in big moments for them and got them a couple big wins. I go back to last year at Michigan in the Big House. He played spectacular in that game. In the playoffs, they had a fourth down conversion to save the game. Their season was on the line. They had to have a touchdown, and he gave it to 2 years ago. He goes into Tuscaloosa, throws 3 touchdown passes, and I get the upside that you want to have Arch, and I do think there's a higher side upside with Arch Manning, but I think people are totally discounting the quality play they got of Quinn Ewers for the majority of his career.
2 years ago, Michigan won the national title and sent the most players to the NFL draft. Last year, Ohio State won the national title, sent the most players to the NFL draft. Has the Big Ten passed the SEC as far as not only the quality of players, but now you look at the teams, and even teams like Penn State are at the top for this upcoming year?
I mean, I think it's unequivocally yes. It's interesting that the SEC, for a long time, they love to talk about the national championships and how many they had won consecutively or how many they had won 13 of 15. And, you know, they're touting all these statistics and all of a sudden they're trying to move the goalposts and saying, well, we have a tougher schedule and we've got tougher players, but they're not winning the national championships. And even more so, they're not even getting there. And I think the thing that has changed dramatically is the transfer portal and the NIL era, where you cannot hoard talent the way the SEC did through their run of dominance. And in large part, a lot of it for a long time was done illegally. Everybody knew what was happening, but they were buying the best players in the country and able to hoard them. And I think there's a lot of schools. Clearly, there have been a lot of schools in the Big Ten that have been doing it as well. But from top to bottom, I would say more of the schools in the Big Ten were trying to do things the right way or didn't have the resources to have bagmen to go out there and make those cash payments. Well, now that that's sort of been leveled and everybody's above board and the Big Ten can buy players too legally, I think that has absolutely leveled it. I do think the SEC is deeper, slightly deeper than the Big Ten, Watch out for a lot of those middle-of-the-pack teams in the Big Ten, because I think they've made some significant strides in narrowing the gap of both the SEC and the top of the Big Ten. I think absolutely the Big Ten needs to be taken seriously. If you're not, I'm willing to say they're the better conference in the SEC, but if I think at the bare minimum, you have to say they're on level playing field with the SEC.
Danny, one of the I guess, narratives last year that happened with Ohio State, with all the talent they had, all the wealth of the $30 million roster, whatever it was, is that it almost didn't matter who the quarterback was because there was just such a wealth of talent on both sides of the ball, and also including the wide receiver and running back room. Do you, if you believe that was true last year, do you feel the same way this year with what Julian Sayin has around him?
No, because I do think there's so many new pieces. There's so many moving parts. And I do think Jeremiah Smith is the best football player in the country. And if I was talking to Julian Sayin, I would say find him early and often, and even if he's double or triple covered, just you have to force the ball to him. And I think Ryan Day will do that, and Brian Hartline. But mentioning Brian Hartline, you also have a new play caller, which this is a pretty significant shift, because at least with Chip Kelly last year, he had been a play caller before. Brian Hartline is entering entirely new territory. And I do think you'll see Ryan Day step in more, whether it's on game day, whether it's in the game plan. I do think you'll see Ryan Day be more involved with the offense to kind of make sure that that transition is pretty smooth. But you also did have that roster, which had so much talent around there. I think even Emeka Buka, who probably didn't get enough credit, eventually ends up being a first-round draft pick, probably didn't get enough recognition. You had both backs in the running in the backfield, which were so good. And then you had the leadership on the defensive guys, guys like JTT and Jack Sawyer, who were there on the defensive side of the ball. That team just really had a very clear-cut identity. So I do think it's a little unfair to Julian Sayin just to expect him to step into that offense and things to go perfectly for him. Because much like I said with Arch Manning, I think it could be a little bit bumpy for Julian Sayin as he's trying to figure things out, and a lot of the pieces around him are trying to get sorted out as well.
Danny, I'm so torn on Penn State because I love Drew Aller. He's from just down the road in Medina County, where I reside, where I'm from. He's got, I think, everything you need to be a really good quarterback in the pros, and yet I do not trust James Franklin as far as I can throw him, and I can't throw him very far. Where do you sit on Aller and whether he has the goods to take Penn State to the elite level, maybe even compete for a national title this year?
They are my national championship pick. Like, I am picking Penn State. So if you're asking me if I'm a believer, I'm saying yes. But I do think it is a step of faith on my part to trust that Drew Aller is going to take that next step. Because if there's been one issue, you know, I know James Franklin, he's 1-15 against top five teams since he's been at Penn State. And that's been a record that he has got to change that narrative. And even last year with their success that they had, they still haven't done that because they haven't been able to beat those teams that are better than him. But Drew Aller, the problem that he's had is he has vanished on the big stages. You know, whether it was against Ohio State, whether it's been against Michigan, whether it's been with an opportunity to have the game-winning drive against Notre Dame, instead he throws an interception. Like, he just has not, and without a completion to a wide receiver, he has not stepped up in that role. But I do think there's a few things why I think he can take that next step. One thing is his familiarity with the offensive coordinator, Andy Koltnicki. Last year was year one, and I thought Andy Koltnicki did a really good job of getting scheming guys open, and I think he's going to be much more comfortable in that system, operating with confidence without having to think so much. They also went to the portal and got him three wide receivers, so hopefully they boosted that position. They're going to need a lot of receiving production because Tyler Warren, the tight end, was a phenomenal weapon that Andy Koltnicki used. But I the reason I like Penn State and as a whole, one, I do think Aller takes that next step. Sometimes it takes time. And I think the Big Ten Championship was actually a game which he played pretty well in, even though they lost. I thought he stepped up and made some big throws. I think they have a lot of commonalities with what you saw from Michigan and Ohio State. You see a bunch of players, the backfield, and Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. You see a guy like their center, Nick Dawkins, some players around the roster that could have maybe made that jump to the NFL. They decide to come back, and there's sort of this mantra, this belief of we want to come back to do something special. And that was the exact same thing you saw from Michigan, Ohio State. Plus, the schedule is as favorable as anybody in the country, and I do think that matters. They really have a two-game schedule with Ohio State on the road and Oregon at home. I think they split that. I think they could lose at the Shoe, but I think they get the best of Ohio State in the championship game and the Big Ten championship game. And I think this is James Franklin's year to finally silence some of those critics.
Danny, great stuff, buddy. And a lot of that's because you just said nice things about the quarterback I like. But we really appreciate you, buddy. Great stuff.
Awesome, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. Great catching up.
Thank you so much. Danny Cannell there on the Fan Hotline.
And Danny coming on courtesy of BetOnline. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff win totals, conferences, Heisman, and college football week one lines.
We'll react to what he had to say about Ohio State, Texas. And you're either going to love my comp for Drew Aller or you're going to hate it. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I was watching Drew Aller this morning.
Real ball knower.
I know ball. Let me tell you that. But as I was watching him, I realized, and this is not a one-for-one. This does not mean this is where the guy is going to be drafted. It does not mean that's what his ceiling is.
Okay.
But I was watching it, and I was like, man, it's like watching young Joe Flacco.
Oh, that's interesting. And that's and Keith guessed Joe Flacco?
I was like, hey, I want to run this Drew Aller comp by you in a minute there, buddy. And he goes, is it Flacco? I didn't even get to the restroom.
I mean, first one, when I typed into AI overview, Drew Aller comp, first one is Joe Flacco.
So basically, I'm a basic B.
Well, and AI are thinking the exact same thing.
I thought I had like this thing of like, no one's thinking of it like this. Because I was honestly.
Clearly, everyone's thinking of it like this.
So what
Nick nailed it. Nick, fantastic job.
That's the frustrating thing. I want to be a unique little unicorn, and I'm not.
Now, there's a ceiling and a floor attached to him, which is not Joe Flacco. But AI legitimately goes, his ranges from an athletic Kerry Collins.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAFGiving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
To a prototype-sized Joe Flacco.
I rather would have done the Kerry Collins thing.
Hey, we're
that would
fun.
Have been.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, we were having.
Hey,
fun.
The ceiling is Justin Herbert, and a lot of these comps. The floor is Davis Mills.
I mean,
with that giraffe neck.
So I think I actually think he might be a skosh more athletic than Joe. And I think what's more important is I don't think he turns the ball over the way Joe does. All right, meaning, we're not talking about old Joe. We're talking about young Joe, who was
and that's
much
exactly
more
what AI adds to. By the way, you have to say a young Joe Flacco. I swear to God, I can't be making this up. Are you just AI?
No, but yes. Yes. Allen Iverson, though.
Artificial
intelligence. Okay. Well, we got that going for us.
Well, hey, no, this is a good thing. You hate groupthink more than anything, but like you're in the groupthink when it comes to Drew Allen.
Cool. Awesome.
That's beautiful for you.
I know ball.
I like him because I like Singleton and I like Allen, and I think that run game is one of the best in the country. I think that's what Penn State's really going to thrive.
One
of the best running back duos in the country. Both had 1,000 yards last season. Brings back one of the best offensive lines in the country. Penn State's a real football team, Nick.
Yeah, but James Franklin's not a real coach. Now, we sent Jake Murren to the Benson Boone concert yesterday.
Oh, we didn't send him. He sent himself.
No, we sent him. He was the Benson Boone concert correspondent.
He bought tickets.
And pricey
tickets. He got absolutely taken to the cleaners with that.
One thing I would like to point out, that we set the over-under on Flippies from Benson, and I cleared the over. We set it 3.5. I took the over.
Did you guys do this on air or no?
No.
This was off air, right?
Okay, this was off air.
Came in and you're like, Nick nailed that over. Oh, boy, did he ever. And I'm like, when did you guys set an over? I love setting an over-under.
It was in the pre-show meeting, so thank you for being with us yesterday.
I guess I just missed that completely. I missed the whole entire. I'm like, where do we set the over? I would have loved that.
Now, in fairness, you said 7 flips in the show, right?
Yeah, I set the over-under at 3.5. I took the under. You confidently took the over. Finished with 7.
If you had said 6.5, I think I still would have taken the over.
I would have
been sweating the entire concert.
Well, I knew it wasn't going to go my way when during his intro, he like rose up on the stage and immediately did a flip. And I was like, well, this isn't going to go my way.
I mean, it's a signature move. Were you counting at the whole concert?
Yeah. Every single time he did a flip, I would look at my wife and be like, there's one, there's two. And I think, so it was like a 20 song set list or so.
That's too many songs. He's got like 4 songs.
I think after the first 5 or so songs, he had already done like 4 flips.
The fact that he's only got like 4 songs, I wouldn't have hated it if he started off with the 4 songs and then finished with those 4 songs as well.
I don't think, by the way, play the hits.
Just run it back.
Play the hits. If you've got 4 hits, bookend it. I am so on board with this take. We're back together. Team, trust tree with the nest. I've forgotten the Joe Flacco stuff. I'm feeling good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you had a question about concert etiquette for us.
Yeah, so we were sitting in the nosebleeds, and we didn't like stand for the opener or anything. But when you go to a concert, you know, you want to stand and, you know, be a part of the concert in that way. And when Benson came on, nobody around us really stood. And we were like, well, we want to stand, but we don't want to, you know, people behind us not be able to see and things like that. So eventually people did start to stand, and then we were just like, all right, we're doing it 3 songs in, and then we were standing the rest of the night.
This is such a uniquely Midwest concert. If nobody else is standing, will you be the first ones to stand? Are you comfortable?
I will never be the first one to stand.
You can't be the only people in the section standing, though. Nobody likes those people.
Yeah, I got to say, though, I have immense power because of my just immense size that I can really sway a whole section.
I like a good sit down at a concert.
I also think are they buying
like a good sit down in general?
Are they buying nosebleeds to make sure that they can sit though?
See, here's the thing.
That's another thing.
This is so difficult. Like when it was the Willie Nelson tour, I wasn't standing up for that. No, that's not true. When Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats came on, they boogied. I mean, that was awesome. There's no way you're sitting for that. But if it's like Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson, they're not standing.
Well, I mean, the audience.
They're in wheelchairs.
Yeah, audience isn't really the one that is suggesting you're going to rave there.
But I will tell you, if it's a band, if it's a younger band, if it's the Keys, if it's Cage the Elephant, I'm not sitting down at that concert.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised because I walked back to my car, and so it's in the direction of where the concert's at the field house there. I saw so many mom-daughter pairs. Because kept thinking to myself, like, this is going to be me. I'm going to be taking my daughter to a Benson Boone concert at some point, and I'm going to hate every minute of it, but that's fine. So I'm surprised. Like, all the little kids and everything weren't just up and dancing.
Yeah, that's what I was surprised, too. But, like, I thought his audience would range, you know, 16 to 25 female. Like, that was my expectation going in.
And Jake.
And Jake.
And you're the bigger fan.
But no, like there were so many kids at this concert.
Yeah, I saw so
and
many
he's
kids.
Kept it family friendly in his music. Night?
Yeah, I was like, is this Disney on Ice or is this Benson Boone? I got confused.
So many kids. His audience probably ranges from like 8 to 25.
I'm trying really hard not to judge parents on this. You would not for Benson Boone. My ass
it was a really
not,
good show.
My ass is not coming downtown with my kids. Now, mind you, I took my kids to Monday Night Raw during school, so I am a hypocrite. But Benson Boone. What are we doing
don't you
here?
Have to do, don't you have to do a lot of concerts that you're not really into because it's like your kid is just into it? Isn't that
no,
part of...
No, that's Vanessa. No.
Okay.
Baby, it's a girl's night. I wouldn't want to pete on that. But no, stand. Yeah. Especially that. That's a young concert. I think you got to stand. I think if everybody else is sitting, that's a them problem. Now, again,
did you want to stand or did you just notice people weren't standing?
We wanted to stand, but we were like, we didn't want to be the first ones and felt bad in case other people around us wanted to sit. And I think probably 40% of our actual section ended up standing, but we were two of them that were.
All right. Concert etiquette. If no one else around you at a concert is standing, do you stand up? Are you the trendsetter, potential jerk? Or do you just sit there and wait for somebody else to set the trend, the lead, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. You can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.